Hello and welcome everyone to this live radio variety show emanating from these cosmic radio receptors of KCRW LP 100.7 FM located in our lovely coastal Brookings, Oregon. My name is Dr. Gigi and you are listening to this week's ladies' first edition of Doc and...
Jacques!
Hello Jacques, Wolf Kepner. How are you?
Great, Dr. Gigi. I'm feeling better than, I can't think of anything, so I'll call it a 3 weeks ago defeated 49er at this point. Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this radio show where it's Wednesday. It is the 28th day of February, 2024, and every Wednesday, you'll find us here live, 4 to 5 p.m., and you can expect an informative hour, a fun hour at that, of on-the-air acrobatics.
Mm-hmm. We start each week's show with a medley of fascinating stats and facts, blended in with some interesting medical info that can affect our health and enriches our knowledge.
And after the doctor dispenses her medical wisdom, we will introduce this week's guest for a creatively composed, colorfully cosmopolitan, consequentially cordial, charming conversation with a coastal community celebrity.
We will save the last segment of our weekly show for some good humor, clean, and this week's actually funny jokes.
They're pretty good jokes this week, yeah.
Contemplative wise quotes. And all of this is starting right now on the Doc and Jock Show.
Okay, that's my cue to kick off this week's topic of MDGG, or medical dialogue, according to my esteemed German-born, patent-holding research scientist and practicing family physician, known to many of you as Dr. Gigi Reed. What have you got for us today, Doc?
Today, we're going to talk about the lungs. So cool. Lungs are the organs that we breathe in oxygen with and breathe out carbon dioxide, besides of all the other air molecules, of course. Now, this is the cool thing that I find most fascinating. The oxygen, the O2 that we breathe in, is not or does not become the CO2, the carbon dioxide that we breathe out.
So we breathe in something, and then when it comes out, something different, but that something different is not what we normally think of it as?
Okay, yeah. The oxygen we breathe in becomes water, believe it or not. So this, and effectively, is how we make our energy, how we are alive, because of that mechanism, oxygen becoming water.
That's how we get our energy.
Yep.
You're saying that's the basis of all energy, is that? Huh?
Yep, for us. The lungs are the largest internal body parts, and there, if you unfold them, they're about the size of 2 football
fields. Yeah, now wait a minute. That's a little bit, 2 football fields if you...
Well, each one, each lung is one about.
Did you know that how lungs express their feelings to one another?
No, how?
Through language. Okay. Ray's shaking his head, but it's okay. He didn't leave this time.
Our body utilizes only 5% of the oxygen that we inhale. Remember, oxygen in our air is only 21%. We only use 5% of that. And then the remaining oxygen we just breathe back out. So we're not actually, we could use actually more than if we had the mechanisms, which we don't.
Okay.
Human lungs are not symmetrical. Jackie, which one is larger, the left one or the right?
I'm going to say the one on the right side's bigger. No, the one on the left. No, the one on the right's bigger because the left side has to cover the heart.
Well, yeah, the heart partially takes some space.
I got to say something, Doc.
Yeah.
Lungs are really ugly. I checked them out online the
other
day. They're not pretty things.
No?
No. Yours are beautiful.
Wait, is that the joke? That's it?
No, that's not a joke. That's serious. I look at them. Lungs are weird looking, dilapidated, multi-layered, like fungus,
or,
fungus growing on your stomach.
Okay, listeners. Our brain stem tells our lungs how much to inhale or exhale.
Okay, this is what I didn't get. It's our subconscious mind, our autonomous system that is telling our lungs to take a breath, not our brain, because our brain sleeps at night.
No, what? No, so our brain...
it does. Brain your brain sleep. Rests. Your brain has to rest. Your subconscious mind never
stops. Right. Some of it rests. But our breathing center, which is in the brainstem, is going on all the time. We breathe all the time. But, of course, we can actually override it. We can hold our breath. We can breathe faster or less fast. But if you think about it, if you're getting all scared or if you're watching Lisa Frankenstein like we did last night and we're like, oh, my gosh. then we are changing our breathing without actually doing it intentionally.
Do you know, I held my breath for 14 days after I gave you my phone number, hoping you'd call me. 14 days, the record. What, is she going to ever call me back? She finally did. Give me the wrong phone number, too.
Lungs are the only organs in our body that can float on water or in
float. Wait a minute. Your bladder floats because it's full of water. No?
Well, if you put the bladder in the water, it will just empty out.
You know, when you get a bladder infection, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay. Our guess is...
Maybe the jokes are not quite as
funny. Okay. No, they're getting better.
We can live on just one lung. We can give up one lung. One side of the lung, the right one or the left lung, and we can live just fine.
Same with the kidney, right?
Yeah, same with kidney, yeah.
Kidneys.
Now, this is interesting, too. When we are inside the womb, or the baby inside the womb, the lungs are full with water, full with fluid, I should say.
Wow.
And then once born, it takes about 10 seconds for the baby to take its first breath. And that has to do with the pressure differences by all of a sudden being outside.
10 nerve-wracking seconds.
Yeah.
10 nerve-wracking seconds, you're helping the baby.
Yeah. Adults breathe about 12 to 15 times a minute. Newborns, how much do you think they breathe?
350.
Or 30 to 60 times per minute. You had the right numbers. When our brain senses a shortage of oxygen, it triggers to take a long, deep sigh or yawn. This is interesting. Yawning is contagious. We can even make dogs yawn. If we yawn in their face, they start yawning.
Really?
Now, this is something that I read several times and I didn't know before. We notice possibly that at sunset or dawn, we use the nostrils or the sides of the nose differently. So one side is used more than the other, depending if it's the night or the day.
Really?
Yeah, that's
it. Kind of fluctuates back and forth. Did you, how far is the lungs? They sit right atop of the
diaphragm?
The stomach? I mean,
where diaphragm? The diaphragm is actually the muscle so that when we breathe deeply, they go down and they pull the lungs larger, longer. So that's
so part of all this. So I went to the library and got a book on abdominal pain, but darn it, somebody had ripped out the appendix. Ray is not laughing at all.
Smoking cigarettes is the leading cause of lung cancer.
That's a majority of it, right? Like 80% or?
Leading cause means the majority, yes. So 80% of deaths are leading, 80% of all the lung cancers are caused by smoking. There.
Okay.
Get it out. And that's the tar within the cigarettes.
I'm tired of this.
Now, here's a fun fact about quitting smoking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when you smoke for a long time, you do the coughing, the hacking cough. And if you stop smoking, you actually produce a lot of wet cough. A lot of people think they got cheated. Here they're stopping to smoke and they have lots more cough. But that actually shows that our ciliary system, little escalator to bring all the crud from the lungs up to our mouth and we swallow it without knowing, we actually paralyze that when we smoke.
The ciliary.
Mm-hmm. Ciliary system.
Simon and Garfunkel sang a song about Cecilia, you're breaking my heart.
So when we stop smoking and they come back up, they come back to life, we actually can get rid finally of all the gunk in our lungs.
Yeah, they used to think that the damage was done when you smoke, and what's the point of quitting? They have all the data that shows how pink your lungs can get over just a week, a month, a year, and so on. It's really encouraging. It's never too late to stop smoking.
That's our guest talking, but we haven't been introduced her yet, but we will. You can chime in all you want. You can laugh, do everything.
Diseases in the lungs include?
Well, of course, lung cancer. Oh, bronchitis.
Bronchitis, asthma, and emphysema.
Asthma.
Those three are actually under the umbrella of
COPD.
Yeah. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So let's treat COPD. Or what is there to treat the COPD besides stopping to smoke? So the asthma part is treat it with something called albuterol or something like that. Those are beta 2 agonists, and they make the lung vessels or the pipes that transport our air wider. So they relax those. And so they're agonists to the bronchioles, but they're also agonists to the heart. So when we're doing it right, when we're taking a deep breath, it actually will activate our heart, and our heart will pump faster.
Okay.
Now, you know, asthma is alone by itself, an alone standing disease, and you hear the wheezing.
Yeah.
And so that's those are the bronchospasms when the air has to whiz through a smaller circumference or diameter of the air lobules. No, the air bronchioles. So they make noises.
So you hear that when you're listening to somebody's heart. You're also just listening. You know, you can hear the blood in your veins if you listen varicosely.
Varicosely.
Varicosely. Okay.
Emphysema. Emphysema is also, you can also have emphysema by itself. It doesn't have to be part of the COPD, but that's actually holes in the lungs, in the lung tissue. There's just nothing, a hole in the lung. So then you don't have exchange of oxygen into the blood. So that's
weird. If you think of a bag full of a Ziploc bag, big one full of water, if it had holes in it, it would drain out pretty quick. She just blinked her eyes, looked at me and said, okay, where did that one come from?
So the bronchitis and other inflammatory events, that is the biggest part of the COPD. That's what gives us the wet cough.
Okay.
Of the COPD. Now, we're coughing to get that inflammatory phlegm out. And that one is treated with the steroids part to get the inflammation down.
Cool.
Yeah. That's it for
our MD.
That was an amazing chunk of information.
Yeah, big bunch of chunk of information. You are correct. You. All right. Well, thank you, doctor, for dispensing that medical knowledge.
Anytime.
And next week, what are we going to talk about?
Liver, we said.
Oh, is it liver?
Well, yeah.
I'm a believer. Okay. And you better believer that, Dre. We're coming Buddha talking.
Set me up.
He's pointing at me. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much, Doc. Today's live broadcast of the Doc and Jacques Variety Radio Show here at the KCIW Studios is a special type of show that Gigi and I frequently broadcast, and one that we affectionately call Ladies First. This is when we are honored to have a candid, interesting conversation with talented, inspired women that excel at what they do best. Today's guest epitomizes the criteria. And she comes to Doc and Jacques well-vetted and recommended by many of our friends and informed listeners. This woman, has been on our radar for a long time. And just some of the lexicon that best describes her is that she's an influencer. She's a trendsetter. She's a trailblazer. She's enterprising. She's entrepreneurial. She's dynamic. And she advocates with spirit. She leaves deep prints and shadows in the stratus of our seaside social sandy soil that we all walk upon here in our lovely coastal village of Brookings, Oregon. Well, enough of my embellished verbiage. Let's get down to it and introduce today's guest on the Doc and Jacques Show. Drum roll, please. Here we go. Welcome, Kimberly Todd.
Welcome. Well, thank you. No drums were used in this performance. But I do appreciate the lead up, and the alliteration is just.
I like that one.
So, I was going to try and alliterate the alliteration comment, but I really appreciate the effort and the thoughtfulness put into that introduction.
Well, thank you very much. You are a special lady. We met you last month when you've been on our radar for quite some time. Other Marie Curtis, Michelle Buford. I mean, how many
dynamos
have come up to us to say, you got to get Kimberly Todd. And it's spelled K-E-M.
Yep. Mom gets a shout out every time.
Hey, Mom. Good for you. Named her K-E-M-B-E-R-L-Y. All right. So what brings you, we met you a month ago, but what brings you back here 1 month later?
Well, every month I get to come back to beautiful Brookings. I mean, shame about the view here, huh?
Great view.
If only there were some pictures I could take. I come because as part of my work with CCD, business development, I get to host, facilitate, and prepare a monthly meeting called Women in Business.
Yeah.
And it's something that just started grassroots style, women asking to meet up together. And we leaned into it as an organization and put some grant dollars aside. And we are over 1 year in meetings. And they're still going strong. They're still so vital.
Yeah, so we're going to have quite a few questions about the CCD. But let's start with you first. Where did you grow up?
You know, I was born in Anaheim, California. It's just a little tiny town. No one's ever heard of it.
Yeah.
kind of a tourist town like Brookings. Trying to remember what their tourist thing is there.
Yeah.
Anyway, then my mom, afraid of the teenage years in a big city, took us to the White Mountains of Arizona. It's 8,000 feet. It's right next to the Apache Reservation where there's a ski resort. So I grew up on the slopes.
Oh, nice.
And then as soon as I graduated, my dog and I drove back to L.A., where I lived for a long, long time of 6 years. It's a long time when you're in your 20s. They're exponentially, you know. Wear and tear increases. And I took a job that led to meeting my partner that ended up landing us in Oregon. And when we got here, we came here to run our small business, and we ended up having children in a rural town, and it's just, we never left.
Where's that rural
town? Very surprised we're still there. It's called Roseburg, Oregon.
Where is it?
Roseburg, Oregon.
Oh, it's kind of— Annie and Sean live there.
Yeah. It's kind of unique because it's right next to the 5 freeway. So you've got this big, you know, interstate freeway right in your backyard, but you also have less than 50,000 people in the whole county, so pretty—
Our friend John Wayne lives there.
Hi, John.
And Annie Hopkins, who are most probably listening to
me. Okay, good.
Just want to let you, maybe you knew them, but they've been up there for a while.
So now, do you, obviously you like in here. What do you like here most?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I still have an outside perspective when I come to small towns. When I first started coming to Curry County and Coos County, it was because I had gone from a position in Douglas County helping small businesses to going to a regional help. CCD stands for Coos Curry Douglas, so... They asked me to come and be the boots on the ground and go meet business owners and see if they need help. And this is the kind of thing that really juices me. I love talking to people, and especially when I know I can help them because I know how hard it is to be a small business owner. But when I come to these places, it's so cute because people's complaints really don't feel like complaints to me. People's worry, you know, I'll give you an example. I'm pretty involved in Douglas County, and they have something called the Downtown Roseburg Association. So 80% of all Douglas County lives or works within 10 miles of Roseburg. So it's really like the big thing. And they have a downtown, and everyone's like, oh, the downtown. Oh, the downtown. I'm like, do you know how special it is to have a downtown?
Yeah.
Do you understand that everybody doesn't have a downtown? Right. And so these are the kind of perspectives that I bring, and I feel like I live in a snow globe. After my kids moved away, we moved off of 10 acres and move downtown, and I pretty much populate a three-mile radius every day. I walk down the street, and hi, what's going on? It feels like I'm in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's just the best feeling. My kids grew up. People know their names. I get texts saying, I saw your daughter skateboarding across the bridge at nighttime. I'm like, thank you so much for checking it.
Right on.
That's small-town stuff, right?
Yeah.
Rural America.
How big is Roseburg now?
The sign still says 35,000, but it feels like more.
Yeah.
There's the VA is there, right?
The VA is there, and that is a probably a big reason that the population has stayed what it is while other VAs have closed in the state. They're a timber town that is reinventing itself, as so many are, as Bend has had to do, as all of the counties move from that to different employment, different sectors. And Roseburg is unique in that it has just like this beauty. I mean, it's not Brookings, but there's, so for instance, I'll give you a fact I learned listening to a TED Talk, that the Umpqua Valley has 42 varietals of grapes.
I was going to say, there's a lot of
grapes. Which makes it, you can't throw a rock and not be at a winery.
I love that.
And you get water rights on the land. There's just a lot of neat things about the Umpqua Valley. And with climate change being what it is, like Bordeaux grapes will not be in Bordeaux, France anymore. They're not able to grow them there.
Oh,
but in the Umpqua Valley, they are having crops that are like record-setting. In fact, two of the bigger vineyards there travel the world getting that recognition. That's really what it takes to make a wine region, is to travel and get awards and things like that. So that's definitely a big part of the economy over there.
So you started as your own small business owner. Did you, and then you grew and were thrown into other positions. Did you go to college for this?
Yeah. So I've had a lot of therapy to be able to say, I owned a small business and it closed.
I flunked out. I gotcha. I flunked out of law school.
So after that, I had had small children and was just like my usual involved self and things. And it became apparent to me that I wasn't going to be able to get these kind of really rock star jobs I had in LA without an education. It was 2008, you know, people are really hurting for jobs and things are going. Yeah. So I went back to school at 40 and it took 6 years to get a 4-year degree, because that's what happens when you're a mom and a worker and a,
good for you.
You know, have land and stuff. Yeah. So it was good. It brought me it manifested the very thing that is my life now. I would never have been able to have this position. So it added to the talents and experience I had already cultivated. It's really important.
What is your degree, the 4-year?
It's a Bachelor of Science in Business.
Oh, okay.
I've toyed with going for my MBA, but I was like, no, not doing it. Mm-mm. Just not going to do it.
Doesn't do anything. So what is your professional title? I looked on the website and I saw you're the unofficial mayor of rural Oregon.
I've heard that before. Yeah. Well, I am a technical assistance coordinator, and technical assistance is Latin for what do you need help with? I can list all the things, top down business. Here are the tenants and the pillars and the, but what's neat about being at CCD is the grants that I work under. There's lots of things and there's lots of resources in every community for business programs and classes and things that you can pursue. What's neat about technical assistance and being grant funded is I start from you out. I don't tell you everything I know. I say, what do you need? I've had some really neat revelations because, I mean, it takes me sometimes a couple of times with meeting with somebody. So I remember talking to this one hairdresser, and she's unique because she does textured hair and braids, which is it's a segment that's kind of underserved. And so we were talking about her capacity and why she couldn't do more appointments and how she wanted to hire someone. And it basically came down to she needed better plumbing. I mean, these are the things you find out when you just listen. So I said, so if we got you a plumbed new sink, and she goes, yeah, I could do double the appointments because I wouldn't have to, whatever the factors were. So you find out these things. I have the most fascinating job. I was helping a lady go from 5-steer ranch to 50-steer. I learned so much about steer. First of all, I learned you call them steer, not cows. apparently, they need an acre and a half. So I call people going, who's got, you know, commercial industrial zoned land and stuff. So you really learn from the client out. Ooh, so you can find out a lot of the things that I find out as I'm helping businesses, because a lot of the businesses I help are the 5 or fewer employees. We call those micro businesses.
Yeah.
A lot of single LLCs just working their tails off every day. But what I've learned is sometimes they just need a website. They need a contract reviewed and they don't have a legal resource. So I get to do what I call chocolate and peanut butter and say, we're going to talk about
that. We're
going to make some chocolate and peanut butter. I need to trademark that. Somebody's going to take it.
We got it off your...
You know, and you talk when we went to your talk the other...
Your bio. That's right. You had
the prioritization presentation.
SWOC last month.
Yeah, you talked about the peanut butter and chocolate.
Hey, by the way, I want to remind everybody, grab some pen and paper, and you can jot down some information while we have here in just a little bit. So get those pens and paper ready, because you're going to want to take down some interesting information about Kimberly. What is CDC? Is that a nonprofit 501c3?
CCD is a nonprofit corporation, and
I'm sorry.
I am not going to go too far into what they are, but this is what I've found out, you guys. This is what I know.
Yeah. That's the day.
There are 12 economic development districts in the state of Oregon.
Okay.
CCD was the first. And their region is Coos Kerry Douglas. What an economic development district does is kind of what I do. They lean in and listen. So for 52 years, CCD's been around. The very first thing they did was it had to do with unemployment. There was just rampant unemployment. And so there's certain systems and trainings and certain things that you can put in place. And that's what CCD does. I'll give you an example of the pandemic and the wildfires, or pretty much any disaster type situation. When the federal government, the state governments respond with money, most of these cities and these counties are so small, they don't have a fiduciary agent to distribute funds. Huh. It gets locked up in all sorts of ways. So when the first CARES Act funds came in, the cities all contacted CCD and said, we don't know how to, like, we don't have an application. We don't know how to get it to them. CCD came in and formatted, because they're a financial institution that has underwriters and has resources, they came in and there were 8 rounds of CDBG funds released over the counties during, I think, a 3-year. Of that, I think the first 6, they distributed for no money. They just did it. They just wanted to get money into small business owners and nonprofits' hands to get them through it. So that's the kind of thing that they do.
Cool.
They have a large board, and when we go to our quarterly board meetings, I'm writing things down all the time. I'm learning every time I'm in there about what CCD assists with, because there's about 10 of us, 10 employees there, and we just grind. We really are just out here doing our work. And so I don't often know of every little thing going on. And I'm like, we did those homes down in Talent, Oregon. They had, for instance, a bunch of homes donated for that terrible fire. CCD was this elemental, you know, entity involved in that. It's like the best.
So how is that different from the Chamber of Commerce? Is it similar or?
No, Chambers of Commerce can be 501c3s, but they're generally 501c7s so that they can also pursue legislative type influence.
But
so
they provide the same service or similar service?
You know, every chamber is different for one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Some chambers are programmatic and have a leadership cohort and have certain things. Other chambers are more focused on legislation change. They want to see certain controls, you know, expanded or contracted to suit the needs of their members.
That's the restaurant above us chopping chicken.
I was there last
He's
night.
Chopping
Let
chicken
chop
at the
away.
Black Trumpet.
Let them chop away. So it really is. Now, the difference, what I would say about chambers, what makes them unique is they're membership-driven organizations. They have a board and they have members. If you're a member, you're going to have a voice, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to have, and if you're a board member, you're going to be able to go to these planning meetings and have strategic changes made and things like that. So that's the difference between CCD. CCD serves everybody, ports, districts, all the partners.
So list some of the businesses that you do help. I mean, this is anybody that reaches out to you and says, hey, we want...
Pretty much. I have a confidentiality, of course. We don't just talk about businesses, but when they do, what generally happens is, and what's been great about forming all the relationships I have here now in Curry, is a partner will usually call me and say, hey, so-and-so wants to buy the building they're in, but they're going to need some help with a loan. Hey, we heard that this, sometimes I'll just see that they're moving town. I'll say, did you want to sell your business to somebody? Let's get to work on that. We don't want to see this business leave this town. So it's very organic how it happens. But yeah, cool. They call me up and some things are under my purview and some aren't. So we're calling a startup, a business under $5,000 in revenue. I'd say about half of the people we help are in that category.
Wow.
And then the other half are in scaling and wanting to maybe hire their first employee or get some, it's just so unique. You never know what you're going to hear.
So
I'm learning so much about fish right now.
Are you learning all about fish now?
Black cod. What do you guys know? I know a lot about black cod.
Really?
Okay. So the CCD means the three.
Curry, Coos, Douglas.
Douglas counties. Mm-hmm. No, is that. Are you talking local or county wise or regional or
it's county?
So that's where you work.
Yeah, and so when the small business, when the women in business meetings had kind of started bubbling up and organically forming, I said I went to my leadership at CCD and I said, "Hey, these ladies want some help." We had all been to a conference and they're like, "We should keep meeting like this." I'm like, "What are we going to do?" And so they had kept after it a few key people. And I said, hey, these ladies really want some help with these meetings, and I just want you to know I'm going to help them. So if I need to sign a letter saying, you know, I'm just doing this on my own. And after listening to me, my executive director, my director said, no, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this in all 3 counties.
Cool.
And you're going to do it. And I'm like.
So the empowered woman helping or empower women, is that part of that season?
Yeah. So
right?
Again, this is all grassroots. And the cool thing about grassroots is it's strong. It's planted over time. We don't have any advertising dollars. We have a Facebook group for each county, and we stay connected digitally in between meetings, and then we have meetings every month. So a lot of times you'll see people shouting out, I need a part-time employer. I need more square footage, or does anybody know who does taxes in a hurry? So those are the kind of chocolate and peanut butters that are facilitated on these groups.
Let me break in here real quick, because believe it or not, we're already at that halfway mark of this week's show. It goes by so fast. We're engaged in a wonderful talk with Kimberly Todd. Thanks for tuning in to Doc and Jacques. You are tuned in to KCIW 100.7 FM in Brookings, Oregon. We are proudly a nonprofit, non-commercial radio station. And regardless if you sing, you have a voice. So reach out to us. Tell us what you do. Think about a plan of a show you would like. Or donate. Or volunteer. There's so many ways you can get involved with the KCIW family. Please find out more by going to kciw.org today. Okay, there we go. We're back here. Since 2021, Kimberly, I think you referred to this just a few minutes ago, several million dollars have been distributed to nearly 300 businesses through your grant partners. What do you mean grant partners? These are people that are willing to step up and say, okay, we are willing to give money to where we feel it goes best to some of these businesses.
Well, I think it happens two ways. I think that a company like CCD realizes where the help needs to be, and then they write grants to facilitate the positions or the personnel that are needed to address these things. I also think that CCD has such a brand with the state and with other partners in the lending industry that they come to CCD when they need things done. The very last round of grant funds that went out the state wanted to get them in the hands of low to moderate income business owners, which you would be shocked is a very high percentage of business owners, women-owned business, people that hadn't gotten any of the PPP money or the EIDL CARES Act money yet.
Right.
So that means you are really looking, and like I go to farmers markets and food truck courts and things and say, hey, what's some money? But you got to fill out this application, and then I help them address any. Like sometimes they just don't have technology. They don't have scanners to scan in these documents that they're asking for. So what was nice is there was all this money available, but to be equitably distributed, fairly distributed, you need to think differently. And so by the time they got to the very last of the, I don't know if it's the last of the money, but I was pretty sure that we weren't going to see any more of these grants coming around. They asked CCD to do the whole state. And all of us shook our head no, and our executive director said, of course we will. And we do anything she says. She makes me sit up taller. She is the reason I'm at CCD. She is a leader. She's just a great leader.
Give her a shout out. Who is that?
Teresa Haga. Right. She has been, she's only the second female executive director for CCD in its history. She's been with CCD 17 years, so she did all of the grassroots stuff I'm doing. She did it back in her day with lending. And lending is super important to small businesses. What I used to tell people when I worked at the Small Business Development Center, my association with CCD, is when business owners would come and say, the bank won't give me a loan, I'd be like, go talk to CCD. They can lend to you. Because they're an economic development company, they can take in other considerations. Banks turn off and on their spigot. You know, they have board members and they have like little controls. Also, they only like to lend on collateral, right? Real soft stuff.
Yeah.
CCD gets to look through a different window. So that's how I would tell people to do. And that's what Teresa's main position was director of finance before she became our executive director.
So who writes those grants that, you know?
Oh my gosh, a fabulous, fabulous catch named Lehi Dowell. Lehi. It's tricky. It takes like 8 weeks to get it locked in and not call him Levi. But I'll tell you this.
Lehi. It's totally.
And you all have these.
Yeah, Utah. There we go.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. He loves to tell us, oh, it's a prophet. But I will say there was a great return of people to their local communities during COVID. And I've met one of them yesterday. She's now living in Gold Beach. There's a lot of people that came back to take care of family, and a lot of our values shifted during that time, right? We started seeing the importance of being close to our aging parents or being in a slower pace of life. He would not be here. And he would have not returned to little Roseburg, Oregon without having that, you know, that COVID experience.
So Lehi is
He's the grant writer,
and he is in the three county CCD.
Yeah. We have offices in Roseburg, Coos Bay, and then we occupy an office in Gold Beach 2 days a week.
So he wrote the grant it's a federal grant, no doubt, right?
No, there's six grants. Two are private foundations, one's the state. legislature, it's different funding. Yeah. I don't know everything. I just do what they tell me. And then it depends. When I started, there was a federal one. I think there is still. It's a lot. I have, what's nice now is that after 2 years of cranking this, like when they hired me, there were seven people. And I was just like unsure of, you know, how it was going to work. Now that we have this kind of IP and this systematic way of getting things done,
yeah,
it is so nice that now we get to do these events, and it just kind of keeps feeding that the intent that we have, which is to help people where they're at.
How about radio stations? I mean, would there?
What is your? Well, I always start with what's your organizational filing?
It's community. It's,
are you 501c3?
Yeah.
We can absolutely help you. What do you need help with?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we need. It's been around for 15 years.
Lehi would be the one to talk with, and I'm going to give you my website so you can get a hold of me. But what I've learned is when you need money as a 501c3, it tends to be project-based. So if there's a thing you've been wanting to get going, grants are here to start things that were never there before and that you can programmatically carry on with.
We want
to
do
that. And that's there are grants for that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and especially with youth and education. That's what we want to teach younger people the broadcasting arts and bring them in from the high school and the college SWOC. So cool. That's an option. Okay, we'll talk to Lehi or talk to you about it first. Let's get back to Empowered Women.
Yes.
I love your emblem. I put it on the Facebook today.
Yeah, there's trademark infringement on that, I learned. So I want to give a shout out.
Don't say that. Say that word.
So, it's so perfect. Empowered Women, Empower Women. And I have it on a embroidery thing a friend had given me. It's up on my wall in my office for years. And so when I started sending these emails, I just found it online and copied and pasted
That's what I did, yeah.
Coquel Tribe has an annual grant that they release, and we applied as women in business, first time just this women in business applied, and we received funds for marketing. So we now get to have a logo made, have brand marketing. So it really saves me a lot of time. I have a template of three different, you know, and when we went to the first meeting, she goes, you know you can't use that, right? And I go, well, ask them if they're empowered women, they should let us borrow it.
I'm taking it off Facebook right now. Here we go. So what is, essentially, sum it up, what is Empowered Women, Empower Women?
Well,
big movement.
Historically, women have not occupied. So for instance, I'll just tell you this. Somebody asked me, we were in a big leadership group, and they go, if you could be anyone in history, who would you be? And there was only a handful of us women, and I was like, women historically get the shaft, man. I don't want to be a woman in history. I mean, you hear, you know, and if there are these things that did exist, we're not told their stories is probably more like it. So
yes.
That really, really speaks to empowered women, empower women, because we are supported women. We are living geographically and in the time of great support and resources. I know there's a lot wrong. We got a lot to tackle too, but I have so many opportunities that I just want to share them with other people because we do. We are empowered women. Dr. Gigi's an empowered woman. Yeah, you support her. I have a partner that supports me. Yeah. My education. So all these things that were so... I tell my daughters, I say, you are a lottery ticket winner of geography. If you lived anywhere else, you could not say that last sentence you just said.
Yeah. Right on. Our soft landing show was about women and empowered women in through the ages. And I kind of had to look pretty, did some research to really find
it. It's kind of a bit shocking when you
I'll tell you what, you know, I've learned to kind of articulate. What I would say about women in business is women's currency in communication is a little bit different. We talk over each other. We talk loud. We can maintain multiple thoughts in our head. And the thing about when I talk to a woman, I'm going to invite you to my Zumba class. I'm going to ask about your kid. I'm going to tell you where there's a grant application for you. And then you're going to tell me about two people I need to meet with. And we get so much. This is a 1 minute conversation, right? Because we show up to an in-person event and we chocolate and peanut butter everywhere. And that is what I think women in business brings in a meeting that other meetings don't. That it's so easy to be in these meetings. They're women. I don't know why. I can't quantify it all, but I just know. And you were there too. And we love when men come and, you know, their support.
I'm coming back tonight.
And allies.
Am I going to go back tonight? I was kind of waiting out in the lobby.
Oh, it's a good one tonight.
All right.
But no, of course they're invited, but there's just something so easy about it. And all I do is ask them, what topics do you guys want to hear about? And they said pricing, but not just pricing, how to advocate for their pricing. You know, if you're a small business owner, you get called a lot on your prices. Really? This is $20? Yeah. You want to know why?
She's drinking a super water bottle.
So giving them that like advocacy, support. And then every other month when we're not getting an expert presenter, it's roundtable introductions. Stand up and tell us what you need.
Okay. So they've got a pen and paper. If you got your pen and paper, one's going on in an hour from now.
Yeah. Let's get down to SWOC Brookings campus.
Come to SWOC Brookings campus at 5 o'clock and there's going to be...
The meeting starts at 5:30 and the speaker starts at 6. We always have... I told the grant funders, I said, listen, if we're going to do these meetings, we're not meeting in the morning. Women don't meet at breakfast. Do you meet at breakfast, Dr. Gigi?
No, I work.
Rarely, right? We're doing other things is my thought. We meet... The first place we ever met in Douglas was a winery, so we just kept with that.
There you go.
We always have wine for purchase, and we always have refreshments, and we're going to work on adding childcare. We don't want any barriers to women coming to the meeting.
Yeah.
Right on. Is this, you mentioned travel and geography to your children. Have you traveled outside of this area? Is there this empowered concept in other regions? For instance, let's say in the Midwest, it seems to me it's a natural West Coast kind of a thing.
Ooh.
It's catchy, more movement, more people, more women are coming involved, whereas maybe...
Well, I'll tell you something with not to get political, but there is kind of a new pulse, a new second of breath in our lungs that is different than before, that kind of reminds us how precarious it all is. We don't have an equal rights amendment. Not here to get political, but there are things that are brought to the forefront. But I will give you this. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote this book called Big Magic. She's the one who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. But she wrote this book called Big Magic, and she has this wonderful story about how she came upon the term. Big Magic, the notion is that ideas are always out there. They're swirling. They're in their ether. They're looking for a ground rod. And what happened was in Douglas County, and her story is the best, in Douglas County, that had come across organically, and then my director said, you're going to do it in all three. And I'm like, oh, now I got to really work because I got to go find these people. They were waiting. They were waiting. Yeah. And then by the time I got to Curry, we started Curry like the 1 month after Coos, I called Marie Curtis. I just happened to know her. I met her at a board meeting. And I said, hey, so this is what we're doing. We kind of want to get together. And she says, oh, we've been meeting in each other's living rooms since November. And I got chills because that creative note, it was out there. So you don't know if it's in the Midwest. Right. But Jacques, look who I met last month. You are supporting women. Yeah. Like you find what you find, you know, good finds good. And that, I can't tell you absolutely if it's something happening, but the more people I talk to, the more, and like Accelerate Women, they're a technical assistance provider out of Portland. They're the ones that really started this because they came and wanted to talk to women about lending. They feel like women are taught not to lend, not to borrow for their small business. And so the statistic was women are about parity statewide and nationwide with business ownership, 50-50. You know, we're getting there. But less than 4% of all women-owned businesses exceed $1 million in revenue. And so Accelerate Women, they're looking for what we call traded sector businesses, things can get shipped over state lines, stuff like that, to scale them and give them what they need to get those contracts, to get those bigger retail. And so that was a real check mark, right? That's new information that none of us had. So it's the actual conditions by which we're existing and also the ideas we have for ourselves, right? And it's manifested in this beautiful once a month meeting that we
have. Yeah, the meeting, I want to mention the meeting. It is tonight. Jacques and I went.
One month ago.
And we were impressed how it was so professional. It was so organized. It was so
candid too, though.
Candid. It was everybody was so. I mean,
excited.
They were into it, right?
Yeah,
very friendly, and it was just. I mean, it's
women.
It was not just like hear gossip and nothing gossip. It was a real.
That.
It was very professional.
The thing is,
very well done.
And Marie and Michelle, you brought them up. They're the chamber people.
Yeah.
They are role models to me about cooperation and collaboration. I have never heard them speak anything personal about somebody in a derogatory manner. I have not heard, and I know that's out there, I'm sure. I've never heard anyone say anything. They are a great megaphone and brand for Curry County.
Yeah.
They're amazing, two women. And women, again, we converse differently. So we don't stand on ceremony. If somebody goes, I want to bring my gluten-free baking mix and give everyone cupcakes. Is that okay? Let me check with the board. Yeah, it's okay. We don't have a board. Like, we don't stand on ceremony. Let's just get stuff done. And the other thing is, women do not need one more meeting to go to. If you don't make these meetings electric, relevant, I want people taking out their phones and going to a website, clicking on the contact us button and getting it done right there. Because if you don't get it done in the moment, you're just not going to do it. I don't need any homework. Do you need any homework?
No.
Do you?
No.
No.
That was for high school.
Let's just get stuff done. Show up once a month and check all the
boxes. Is this called Accelerate, spelled X, the letter X, and then
Accelerate,
that mm-hmm. without the E.
You can Google them. They're in Portland.
Okay. So that's a whole...
So what'll happen sometimes is when people, we survey them every 6 months and say, what do you want to hear about? And when they had asked for this pricing, and again, we don't need top down, this is how you price cost of goods,
Yeah.
We've all seen that. We want to know, this lady tonight, I've seen her speak twice now. She's amazing. She starts her talk by saying, I'm going to give you tips for increasing your profit without taking more time from you. Everyone got their pens out. Too sweet. We're like, let's go. And they were actionable steps. They were things, blooms. In fact, I think we might even, and so this is what's cool. We don't plan a year out in advance. We leave room for, you know, we bob and weave a little bit. So we ended up staying till 8 o'clock at the CUS meeting because everyone was talking so much after this about ideas. I said, we should just workshop this. We should just show up and again, get stuff done.
Yeah.
You talk, because one of the practices was write down every single thing you do in your day. Is it bringing you, kind of the Maria Kondo, is it bringing you joy? Is it something you can farm out? And if you do this with somebody that's not you, you can really get that list whittled down. So these are some of the kind of workshops we might do in the future.
Yeah.
If the women ask
for it. About other events that you not might do, but you actually have planned.
Yeah, we have one called the Abundancy Concept. It's a half-day workshop that we're bringing to each county and Curry's. We haven't locked the date down, but it's going to be either April 23rd or 25th. We hear, and this is why, when we came to Curry, a lot of the hospitality and tourism industry said, don't have a Friday meeting. We can't come. If you want us to come to a meeting, have it on a Monday or a Tuesday. You know, they're open for, you know, or we want to make it equitable. We want people to be able to show up.
Yeah.
We moved them from 8 in the morning to 9 in the morning so you can get your kids to school. Like, let's just remove barriers, right?
What's the premise of Abundancy Concept?
Well, I mean, it's not as mystical and cosmic as some of the stuff I've heard you say, Jake, but it really, I know, we need to hire you to maybe do some prose for us, but it really speaks to the resources that are in our area. And I tell people a lot when I'm talking to them, it's good to have your dream and your goal. And the scaffolding will show up where it shows up. You can't know every step. Right. Some people, type A's, they just want to write down everything. And no, it's liquid. Things don't stay the same. And stuff will show up out of nowhere. But just like big magic, you got to put the thought out there. And then you got to do a little bit of work. But then you have people like me that show up, that Derek from SBDC shows up, that the city of Brookings has a facade grant, that, you know, all the little things that happen when you start moving in that direction are what technical assistance and the women in business is all about.
So this is the Abundancy Concept.
Yeah, so we're going to bring a keynote in. It's going to be Kathleen O'Donnell Crook from Crook Point. They're doing amazing things over there in Pistol River.
That's Pistol River, we met her.
Well, you didn't meet her. She's
met one of her.
You met her, I saw Mary there. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I saw Mary, and then we heard from those two. They are brother and sister-in-law, and they talked about the history of Crook Point.
Yeah.
At any rate, we're going to be bringing in somebody to do a breakout on cybersecurity, one on savings, and there's this program called Oregon Saves for small business owners to have a retirement account. Small business owners don't have a lot of savings sometimes, don't have a retirement or even a life insurance. So I'm always trying to get somebody in finance to go tell them to do this, this, and this. Actionable steps. And then our third speaker, I mean, she's like, it's a TED Talk. You're going to get the chills and spills. Talk about a ladies first leader. She's going to be there to speak. So it's just this way of supporting and invigorating.
What's her name?
Her name is Jessica Batchelor. She's currently the executive director of the Sutherland Chamber. And before that, she has quite a history with economic development. But these events are really one of the things that when we surveyed people from the last event, so what did you like best? And they said, networking. And by the way, everybody listening, Can we please think of a better word than networking? I'm so over that word. I don't like it. What's
the new word? It's kind of a, I just discovered it. It's like,
it's
I'm
so
networking.
Aged and it doesn't
social
speak to
pollination.
The real. I say chocolate peanut butter, but it still doesn't butter, cover it completely.
I was impressed with the some of the women at the meeting last at SWOC meeting, which you're having again tonight between 5 and whenever.
7 or something.
Is instead of just this big like boardroom feel to it, it was totally low key. It was kicked back. Instead of talking about the profits of a big dealership or doing opening the bank, there was a gal that had the single coffee shop here in town.
Who's expanding to two more towns.
And is expanding. And is it growing? She got up, was so excited. She just vibrated good feelings.
No, and Jacques, I really like your particular take on it because when you're a woman in business, you really understand the things. But when you have supporters like you, it really makes a difference. And my sister got to come down. My sister... she lives in Washington. She hasn't had to work for a couple of decades, but she came down and sat in the meeting, which just, of course, just made me feel great. She's my big sister. And she started crying. She goes, she stood up and she says, I can't believe what all you women do. I am the buyer of all your goods, which she is. She spent a lot of money the next day. She goes, I told that lady I'd come in. She has that kind of lifestyle. But it really brought to me how much what we're doing, the intrinsic value is far beyond the business world, right?
Yeah.
We're showing, I might just give you guys a little preview to what I'm thinking about for May. I've always thought that I want our moms and our daughters to come to one of these meetings.
Cool.
And have our moms introduce us. My mom would say, here's my daughter, Kim. She does computers.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't, in fact, in computers. I have a computer. I use a computer.
She does computers.
And then she would say, and she knows everybody, which is also true. So I want to hear the moms introduce the daughters. I don't know. I just, I've been turning that around in my head. And I just think that's, it's an extension of all we are, right?
And we got to drop, and we got to drop the networking. Okay. This is a contest for all KCIA. KCIW. Oh my God. I haven't said, the engineers are shaking their head at me. I said it again. I don't know where I got KCIA.
I answered the phone the other day, Sunkissed Growers. I have not worked at Sunkist in decades. Where does that
Okay,
come?
Good. See, it's
and
the
I
same.
And I stopped myself, and I got to the second word.
What am I doing?
What reality am I in right now?
ACIW. All right. Everybody grab your pens, papers. Yeah. How do people contact you?
The best way is to go to ccdbusiness.org. It's a website. ccdbusiness.org. And
one word.
It's also on Facebook. Yeah. Mainly, you're going to see a meet the team, and it's got all our emails and phones. I tell people I am paid to be interruptible. I get texts, private messages, calls on my cell phone because I get a stipend. And these are get in touch the way you get in touch. We all have our own communication channels. So you can call me on the number listed. You can email me. Email me tends to be a little more expeditious. So.
What's that? Everybody has a pen and paper. What is
everybody.
Your email?
It's K.
K as in, okay.
Yeah, dot Todd, T-O-D-D, at ccdbusiness.com.
Okay, that's with two Ds.
Yep.
Okay, phone number, anything like that?
No, I think.
No?
Okay. Well, mainly, you can go on Facebook to Women Owned Business Curry. You can join that group. You can also go to our CCD Business Facebook page, and that is where I put all our events, all the things happening. I got pictures of yesterday's TSOC conference on there, and that's really, it really is kept up.
So this is mainly for women in business and also people or women who want to have a business.
Everything. You know, I just don't like to put parameters on it. When we first started, it was women in business because the initial speaker that came wanted to talk to women who might need lending.
Yeah.
Well, I said this yesterday at the conference. 17% of all of a community's economy is from nonprofits. The jobs, the money they generate from outside the area. You'd be passing around the same dollar in the same county if you didn't have nonprofits bringing in outside dollars.
Yeah.
So nonprofit organizations, come on out.
Right.
We start the top of the hour. We start the top of the meeting with a 15-minute small business spotlight. And what that is it allows somebody in the group to give a longer form story. They can show their website. They can do a PowerPoint. They can just stand up and talk. And tonight it's going to be Rebecca Moore, who we met as a real estate broker, but now she's helping Beacon Broadband. And so she wants to come and present about Beacon Broadband. And she's bringing swag for raffle prizes. Because can we offer raffle prizes? Let me check with the board.
Yeah,
we can offer raffle prizes.
Right. Okay, so it's Kimberly Todd, with two D's, where are you going to be in 10 to 15 years? Where do you see yourself?
You know, okay, so this is so funny. I don't want to get too emotional, but that's why I was a little bit late today. I went to visit a client, Harmony and Me. I don't know if you know Harmony and Me. She does musical outreach with youth, elders. She has got a lot of neat stuff. She wants to work with teenagers on music production. She's got a little studio.
Wait, this Trisha? Not Trisha.
Trisha.
Oh, yeah, Trisha.
I've known her for a couple of years. I had never been to her thing. She invited me to a class.
Shout out to Trisha.
I had three little three-year-olds in there and all their supporting parents and stuff, and we're dancing and singing. I'm a Zumba instructor. I was like right in there. Let's go. She brought out drums, and they sang this song. I don't know what combination of words. I just started crying. It was called Row Across the River, My Child and I. And I had to go in the corner. I was like, what is going? This is the magic of what I do. Like, I never know where I'm going. I'm sitting in a room with a, you know. So back to what you asked me about, where am I going to be? My partner told me, describe your favorite day. He goes, describe the best day.
To the phone, yeah.
And I said, I'd be swimming. I have to be in the water. And this I need to Zumba. Talk to a five-year-old. Aqua Zumba. Cool. And I would love to be talking to a five-year-old. I have a lot of little kids in my thing. So I like that. But when I also wasn't sure if we would be grant-funded again, I had already started thinking, we should do women in business statewide. I could contact the other economic development districts. We could just see where the juice is and follow it, you know?
We are out of that time. We will want to have you come back. Let's have a check-in every at least 6 months, find out what's going on, where's the latest things. Or you're coming down once a month. Please get us all that information. We'll record PSAs for you to get the word out.
Yeah.
KCIW is here for you. Doctor, we are going quickly to a what?
To our fun time.
Fun time corner. Give me some quotes. Give me a quote.
Here we go. People who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
People who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are usually the ones who do. You're correct.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Ray's lifting his hand in there. Yeah, I'm the guy. Yeah. Okay, give me another one.
Today's accomplishments were yesterday's impossibilities.
Oh, I like that one.
That is so true.
Accomplishments were yesterday.
You know the cattle lady I told you I was helping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned so much. Do you know where cattle buy their clothes?
Where?
Catalogs.
I love it. Oh, that reminds me of that. This little quick little joke. You know, dogs can't operate an MRI machine, but CAT scan. Hey, Ray. No, yeah,
like
dogs
and
CAT scan. I think that's
cute. CAT scan works.
Never lie to an X-ray technician because they can see right through you. Okay, what else you got for us, Doug?
A sad soul can kill you far quicker than a germ.
A sad soul can, that's true. It can kill you much quicker. I recently tried to hide, playing hide and seek. let's try that again. I recently tried playing hide and seek in the hospital.
Yeah.
But they kept finding me in the ICU.
I see you.
Okay.
Hey, that was super funny.
That was a...
There's an open mic night on Tuesday nights right over here.
I once heard a joke about amnesia, but I forgot.
Okay. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, rather by the moments that take our breath away.
Yeah, no, that's a famous one. Who but that? I don't know.
Unknown.
Okay, give me another one.
That's stupid. Inhale the future, exhale the past.
Inhale the future, exhale the past. Okay, we all got to look at that. Everybody, let's all do it. Okay, we're getting to that time where we're going to get ready to sign up. Kimberly, Todd, thank you so much for coming on our live show. Was that fun? It's easy.
Yeah.
We're having fun.
Yeah, so we have now reached the magical ending time for this week's Life Radio Variety Show. You have been listening to Doc and Jack on KCOW LP 100.7 FM in beautiful Brookings, Oregon. We hope that you have enjoyed it as much as we have, Sean.
Yes, we certainly have. Thanks again, Doctor. Thanks again, Kim. Special thank Tom Bozak and Ray back there doing their wizardry in the KCIW studio. And lastly, if you know of a fascinating local character, let us know. Reach out to me, Jacques Kepner, KEP as in Paul Inier, on Facebook and Friendly. Peace and love to everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you.